It's like that one time that lady in front of McDonald's pulled out in Sibley, and when she saw me coming, she slammed on the brakes and covered her eyes, you know, and sat there in the middle of Sibley. But anyway, this guy froze. And I was trying to talk to him, talk to these other people on the radio, and you got a switch on the console that puts you on, can put you on three different radios. So here I'm telling him to put me on the different radios, and he was sitting there. I mean, he didn't move a muscle. He was just staring out the window. On. Boy, if I would have been able to grab him and then take my hands off the controls, I would have smashed him in the head. He just sat there. I had to yell into the microphone about five times, tell him to, you know, put me on this radio, put me on that radio, do this, do that while I'm hovering. And, well, I tell you, it was a mess. Anyway. And it so happens that that guy that I tried to pull out with the rope was one of Nogol's friends here, the guy I went to Hong Kong with. He was one of his friends in flight school. And I haven't seen the guy. I haven't been able to talk to the guy yet, but it was a helicopter from a company in our battalion, the 134th. They help us a lot, and we help them. And I've been meaning to get to the guy, you know, to shoot the breeze with him about what happened, but I haven't been able to talk to him yet. The reports we got was that he was resupplying up there. They put too much on his ship. He thought he could take it. He took off, lost left pedal, shoved in left pedal to try and make it. Left pedal got stuck in. He reduced pitch. When he reduced pitch to nose swing back around to the left, left pedal stuck in, just kept doing 360s to the left, lost control and crashed into the trees. So that's the story of the airplane crash. Now, just before I went on R&R, we had another accident in the company. They sent an aircraft out to pick up about 10 o'clock at night. My platoon leader came in. I was RF6, and he says, "Okay, Bruce, put your clothes on. Tell your crew you're going out. You got to go pick up." They say, you know, he comes into my room. He says, "Okay, put your clothes on, all that stuff. You're going out to pick up a prisoner they just captured at a 11th Company in a cab." So I'm getting dressed. I get all my stuff, tell my crew to get ready, tell the Peter pilot, get ready to go down to the ship. Get dressed, go over to Lou's suits, the platoon leader suits, and say, "Okay, I'm ready, you know, you want me to go down to operations now and get ready to go." Then he got on the phone, called up operations, and I started to go out the door, and operations told him that they had somebody else, a maintenance man, had volunteered to fly the mission, a maintenance officer, you know. So he says, "Okay." So he says, "Okay, you know, just going back to the hooch, somebody else volunteered to fly the mission." And since, you know, I wouldn't mind flying at night, but, you know, it was nice and comfortable, or reading or something, you know, no sweat off my back. So it happens that the guy goes out there, picks up the prisoner. On the way back, he was flying home with one VC prisoner aboard, three Koreans, and himself and two pilots and two crew members. It was a cloudy night out. They called up Phuket to get radar vectored into Phuket. The last thing Phuket heard from him was, "Roger, this is the 257 leaving 6,000, going to 5,000. That was the last Phuket heard from him. They crashed into a mountain, killed everybody. They immediately put out the three ship night CA out there and tried to secure the wreckage. When they got there, nobody was alive. Everybody was killed. Bodies were spread out all over the mountain. The crew that went on the ship volunteered to fly the ship because they thought they were going to take a show, you know, a girl-type band playing show that had been up at the NCO club. They thought they were going to take a show from here back to Quinyon. They volunteered, and what they volunteered for was volunteering to die. Anyway, what it turned out to be was, when they investigated the wreckage, the altimeter was stuck at between 1,500 and 1,600. the highest mountain around here, if you climbed over 1,800 feet, you'll pass through all the mountains around here. What they thought they were doing, they thought they were at 5,000 and going to 6,000, but they were really at 1,500 going to 1,600, and they crashed into a mountain. Simply pilot error. He read his instruments wrong and killed 4, 7, 8 people because of it. It's one of those things that shouldn't have happened. It was one of the best crew chiefs they had in 2nd Platoon, Jackson. Hart Jackson was married, had a kid. Hardgraves was married, his wife was expecting a kid in about a month and a half. DeSantis, the pilot, had about 3 weeks left in country. And Saran had about 4 months left before he went home. And now it's all gone. So, another accident in the company. It's really bad when something like that happens. And there's nothing you can do about it. But, okay, that's all local news that I can bring you up on here. 3 tapes, that's a pretty good deal for one night. I was expecting to get it. No, doggone it. Dad hasn't sent me a tape. Paul hasn't sent me a tape. I know I complained to you about that in the last tape I made. And I would appreciate if I'm hoping you're going to be there to get this tape. I mean, I really got a little worried about why I couldn't get you on when I called you from Hong Kong those other times. I had visions of getting back to company here and finding a letter from the Red Cross saying I had to come home. But you're probably there, and I hope you're listening to this tape right now. But how about saying something to me, Dad, on a tape there, and Paul, you too. So I'll probably tape you a couple more times before I go to Australia. So take care. Say hi to everybody back there. Grandma, Gansies, Uncle Chuck. Anybody else you feel like saying hi to. Grandma Bruce. Tell Grandma Bruce you better be ready to cook me some good food when I get back. And tape's about out here. So take it easy, everybody. And what I say, 47 days, I'll see you. Oh, that sounds great. Oh, Paul, buy the Stones' new album for me. Remember that. Buy the Stones' new album. It's called Back in the Dark Age, Along the Dark Road or something. I don't know. Something like that. But buy that new album for me, will you? It's supposed to be real good. So I guess this tape isn't running to an end like I thought it was. Well, it should be coming shortly. But anyway, everybody, take it easy. And catch you later.